So like I said, this Friday, the entire Stauffer family and about 30 people from our church will get on an airplane and head to Guatemala. You may or may not know that in recent years, Woodmont has built a substantial ministry in that country. Our youth first traveled down there in 2008, and then I always lift up Jim and Emmy Thomas because they have been ambassadors for this ministry going all the way back to 2008. But we have now funded and built 67 houses. The last two, I think, are going up right now. And our church has now sponsored roughly 375 children and seniors in that country, allowing them to go to school, to get an education, to have some basic necessities for living. And so I feel like we have made a really big impact on many lives. So 30 people are going. I don't want to leave anybody out, but the Stauffers, the Galleons, the Johnsons, the Smiths, the Riches, the McClarys, the Buckleys, Mariah Pirtle, Emmy Thomas, that I just learned this morning, which is great news. So keep us in your prayers as we go. I wish I could tell you that my kids are really excited to spend spring break in a third world country, but I would not be telling you the truth. They've asked why they can't go to the beach, why they can't go skiing, why they can't be with their friends. My boys are a little bit afraid. Clayton actually wrote out his will, and he's left his toys to his favorite friends. So that's a little hard to watch, but all will be well. And so we're going to go down and represent Woodmont, continue this amazing ministry that our church has built over the years. You know, fear is a part of life, and we all have to overcome it. Megan and I want our kids to realize that Green Hills is not reality for most people in the world. We all enjoy a high standard of living, even though we can lose sight of that. But there are many people in the world who struggle for food, shelter, education, and the world is a very big place. And when we put our hearts to it, we can make a big difference in the lives of other people. Now, you don't have to travel to Guatemala to serve and give back, because Woodmont is a missional church, and we have so many different ways for you to serve and get involved right here in Nashville on a regular basis. But our motive always matters. Why we serve, why we do it, why we go, that always matters. This is the first family trip that we've offered, and we're going to continue to offer them in the future. That's the goal, probably over spring break, because that's what works. So we'll come back and we'll tell you about it. But I want to tell you this. The first time that I went to Guatemala was about 10 years ago, 9.5 years ago in 2014. And I was completely inspired and filled with joy on that trip. I was blown away by the fact that people who have little or nothing, who live in mud huts, who don't know where their next meal is going to come from, they don't know if their house that they've built with sticks and mud and tarps is going to withstand the storms of the night. They seem to have more joy and gratitude than those of us who have plenty. And so I think sometimes we're called to get outside of our comfort zones. And sometimes in life, that's a good thing. We're studying the life of Jesus during this Lenten season, and I want to begin the message today by making just a few general observations about how we tend to behave as human beings. The first observation is that we are tribal by nature, meaning we tend to find comfort being around people who are just like us. For thousands of years, human beings have survived through tribalism, looking out for each other, having each other's backs. And naturally, we tend to be drawn to people who see and experience the world the same way we do. Now, this is both good and bad, right? We like to have our beliefs and our ideologies confirmed by other people. And at the same time, it can limit our exposure to different beliefs and experiences. But tribalism is actually becoming more and more common in our world because there is so much fear and anxiety that is present. When we are afraid, we tend to flock to the people that are like us. The second observation that I want to make about human beings is that we all deal with fear. The world can be a scary place. My kids aren't totally off the wall and being afraid of Guatemala. It's not on the recommended travel destination list right now in the U.S. Anxiety is real. It's on the rise. You remember theologian Paul Tillich, he taught at Harvard, he taught at Union Seminary. He basically said, here's the difference between fear and anxiety. He said, fear has an object which can be faced, analyzed, attacked, and endured. We're afraid of heights, afraid of death, afraid of airplanes, public speaking, failure. Typically, you know what you're afraid of in life. But anxiety is the fear of something that you can't name. And so it's a lot harder to deal with that. And Tillich said there's three basic fears in life. The fear of death, or he called it non-being. Secondly, the fear of emptiness or meaninglessness. And third, the fear of guilt, judgment, and condemnation. Everything that we're afraid of in life can be traced back into one of those three categories. But we all have to deal with it. We all have to overcome it. The Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear. So that means we have to love more. Third observation about human beings is that we are complicated creatures. Meaning, we have the capacity to do good, to love, to show compassion, to serve, to make a difference, and yet at the same time, we have the capacity to do the opposite, to be selfish, angry, irritable, resentful. So remember, it's the two wolves battling it out in our hearts, and the wolf that we feed is the wolf that wins. All of us face this struggle, this dilemma. It's the human condition. All of us feel this tension, and we have to navigate it. But Jesus calls us to love, to serve, to show compassion, and to forgive. But that's a decision that we have to make. And the fourth observation that I'll make about human beings is that we all seek meaning and purpose. We all want our lives to matter. We want to be seen, heard, and affirmed. We want to give our lives to something bigger than ourselves. But the choices that we make and the people that we spend time with will determine whether or not we find that meaning. Not everything that is meaningful comes easy. It requires commitment, sacrifice, selflessness. Think about it. Growing a marriage, raising children, being committed to the church, serving other people, building a ministry in a third world country. All of these things take effort, but they are well worth it. Jesus lived a life of service and sacrifice. He put other people first. Remember, he said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In our text today that Pharaoh read, we have this passage in Matthew 25 that's called the Judgment of the Nations, where he gets even more specific. He says, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. And then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters who are members of my family, you did it to me. I have a few messages to share with you regarding this text today. The first one is this. Jesus calls us out of our comfort zones. Too many Christians in today's world are complacent. meaning they are very comfortable and they don't like to be put out. It doesn't mean that they're bad people. In fact, they're good people with a good heart. They do care. But too many times, their faith is not put into action. They don't go out of their way to serve and to sacrifice. Helping other people is often inconvenient. And as our world has become more and more self-centered and self-focused, many of the world's needs are ignored. Vandy professor John Locke, who just passed away, he once said, "There's far too much passivity in our culture," meaning too many times the mindset is, if it doesn't affect me, if it doesn't affect my family, then leave me alone. But that's not what the Christian life is all about. Jesus wants us involved in each other's lives. If people are hungry, Jesus wants us to feed them. If they are thirsty, we should give them something to drink. If they are a stranger, we should welcome them. Naked, give them clothing. Sick or in prison, go visit them. And then he says, when you do it for the least of these, you do it for me. But the only person who can gauge whether or not you're doing enough and serving enough is you. You have to be comfortable with the difference you're making in the world. But we are all called to make a difference. And sadly, I think what keeps many people from doing that is they are too comfortable and too complacent in their own situation. And many of the needs and cares of the world remain out of sight and out of mind. Secondly, Christianity is not a religion of convenience. It requires denying self, going out of your way, and serving. Too many people in life want the easy path. But remember what Jesus said, the road is narrow and there are few who take it. Just about anything in life that gives us meaning and purpose is not easy. It requires commitment, sacrifice. That's true with our faith. Now, does that mean that we neglect self-care? No, because if you don't do self-care, then you don't have the energy to go serve others. You're spent. You're tired. You're exhausted. Denying self does not mean neglecting self. But there is a balance that must be found. But this is not a faith or a religion of convenience. It's a religion of love and service and sacrifice. Think about your family life. Is it always convenient? We had four games in Cool Springs this weekend. One of them during rush hour in the rain. Love Cool Springs, by the way. It's hard, but it's worth it. On Thursday afternoon or evening, I went to hear a lecture by Professor Brad Wilcox from UVA. And he just wrote a book called Get Married, but basically he's been researching how marriage is on the decline among younger people. So research now shows that one out of three young adults today, maybe even a little more, will not get married. And part of the reason is because the culture is sending a message, you gotta focus on your career, you gotta focus on making money because your marriage may not work out. And of course, marriage isn't for everybody, but to make it work, whether it's marriage, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a child, you have to work at it. The world continues to ask the question, what's in it for me? Is it a surprise that marriage rates have declined and so have the levels of committed Christians? But this has never been a faith of convenience. Love requires sacrifice. Third, Jesus knew that if everybody pitches in, then basic needs will be taken care of. There is enough food to solve world hunger. There are enough clothes to keep people warm. Not everybody is going to have the same amount, we know that, but if everybody does their part, then many lives can be helped. You know, it's like the story of the boy walking down the beach and all the thousands of starfish had washed up on the shore, and he starts throwing them back one by one, and somebody comes up and said, "Do you really think that you can save all these starfish?" And he picked one up, he threw it back in, he said, "I made a difference for that one." He picked one up, threw it back in, said, "I made a difference for that one." One at a time. If everybody does their part, the world would be a better place. If everybody lived by the golden rule, the world would be much better. But like I said earlier, we all have to decide for ourselves if we are doing enough and if we are using our gifts to go and serve. Lastly, this passage in Matthew 25 applies to everything in life. It's not just about feeding the hungry, housing the homeless, welcoming the stranger, visiting the sick. It's about seeing Jesus in the needs of other people and recognizing that when you do it for the least of these, the people who are struggling, you do it for him. So it might mean that you got to walk with somebody who's going through a really difficult divorce, or help somebody who might be looking for a new job, or checking on somebody who is grieving the loss of a family member, or talking to somebody who has an addiction or drug or alcohol problem. And yes, friends, we can become overwhelmed by the needs of this world and the brokenness and pain of this world, or we can get busy helping. Compassion fatigue is a real thing. I can tell you that as a minister, beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's a real thing. But nobody's asking us to do everything, just something. One of the dangers of American Christianity is that it's a consumer religion for many people. We look at it to get things, to get a good message, to get some good music, to get a good children's program or youth ministry, to get some new friends. And all of this happens, but ultimately we are called to get inspired to go and serve, to go be the hands and feet of Christ in the world. But when you do that and you go help other people, you know what you find? You find that you are the one who is blessed. You are the one who experiences incredible joy. I've never felt the joy like I felt in Guatemala last time, except for maybe my marriage and the birth of my children, maybe being ordained into the ministry. And I'm so glad I'm going to share that with my family and with some friends. And so while we're there, we're going to find joy on that mission trip. We're going to have fun, too, on that mission trip. I don't go on trips that aren't fun, by the way. But I guarantee you that if you volunteer in your life to go teach children's Sunday school or to help be a youth sponsor or to do anything where you serve and give back, you're the one that's blessed. Remember what St. Francis said? I told you last week. It's in giving that we receive. It's in pardoning that we are pardoned. The people who are the most lonely and miserable in life are the ones asking what everybody else can do for them. Morality is when we learn to care for the well-being of everybody. Jeremiah said, "Seek the well-being of the city, the community." That doesn't work if everybody's just focused on their own needs and what they want. Jonathan Sacks wrote a bunch of books that I like, but in one of his books he said this: "Science, technology, the free market, and the liberal democratic state have enabled us to reach unprecedented achievements in knowledge, freedom, life expectancy, and affluence. They are among the greatest achievements of human civilization and are to be defended and cherished. But they do not and cannot answer three basic questions that we all ask. Who am I? Why am I here? And how shall I live?" But guess who does help us answer those questions? Jesus. And what he says is, go serve and help other people. Then your life will have meaning and purpose, and we all want that. We all long for that. But we can't be self-centered. We have to go make a difference. So my challenge to you today as we study this text in Matthew 25 is get out of your comfort zone and go do just that. Amen.